My name is Chris Runco. I live in Davenport, Iowa, and I am rocking 4G on my T-Mobile G2. Now get ready for the Android Central podcast.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central podcast. It's episode number 53 for Thursday, March 10th, 2011. And we got the gang back together again. I don't know what else to say. It's good to see you guys. Mickey, Jerry, Corey.
Good to be back.
It is.
It's good to see you, Phil.
Thanks. I'm fighting a head cold yet again, so you will all have to bear with me. I'm Phil Nickinson. I'm your host for this little shindig that we call the Android Central Podcast. We record live on Thursday nights, so if you haven't caught us live, you're missing out because it gets a little crazy, especially with the chat room. And as you heard, we have Mickey Papillon, a.k.a. the Cell Phone Junkie.
I am here, and I am with Zoom.
Ooh, we're going to have to talk a little more tablet, I think. And we have Corey Streeter from the Android Central Forums.
Hey, everyone.
And as always, Jerry Hildenbrand is back.
Howdy, howdy, howdy.
So let's just dive into it. I want to kind of continue what we were doing last week, and we just kind of went all tablets. So Mickey and Jerry were missing. Corey and I talked with Renee Ritchie from Tippy, and we just talked all tablets, basically, for about an hour. Now, Mickey, you have since gotten a Zoom and had some time to play with it. You want to talk about it for a minute?
Yeah. I got it actually last Thursday, so I've had it for a full week now. And I will say this. This is something that I saw at CES and immediately was I was totally turned off by it. I picked it up and I thought the weight was too heavy. My opinion on that has not changed. I still feel that the 25, almost 26 ounce weight, is too much. And I know what we're up against here, and I know the technological limits of this, but, it's a big deal, and I'm finding that I'm having issues with it. I'm not comfortable holding it in one hand and using it with the other hand to do things on it. I don't think they made the bezel wide enough for that. Now, that being said, I am totally blown away by Honeycomb. I mean, this is really making me smile for the most part. I'm enjoying how easy they have made this, and I feel like Android has finally come into its own with Honeycomb and the ability to do the things that you can with the dual core processor and the RAM that they have has been. I mean, it's just been a great experience, and overall, I would say it's a decent device. I still think there's some work to go, but this is the first real tablet that I've sort of felt comfortable with on the Android side, at least from the ones that I've used.
That's kind of the opposite of what a lot of the reviews have said, and I know ours is coming, I promise. What's happened is, as I keep playing with it and using it, I keep finding more and more things in Honeycomb, just smaller and smaller things. I said this last week. I thought I had a pretty good handle on it after using it, you know, half a dozen times in CES. And now that I've actually had some quality time with it, I keep finding new and cool stuff in it. But, I mean, Mickey, a lot of people said, well, you know, the hardware's pretty good, but Honeycomb's unfinished. And you're kind of saying the opposite?
Well, I guess I'm, you know, and here's the reality of it. I am not a day-to-day Android user, right? And so that's probably the biggest difference that I have. And people are saying that the hardware is finished on this. I mean, I think, how could the hardware be finished? It's a 4G device that doesn't have 4G. It's got a micro SD slot that doesn't function. I mean, this got rushed in a big way. And maybe you tie those back to the software too, right?
Give them hell, Mickey.
I don't know. I just,
reach, baby.
The device itself, I mean, it's this very industrial looking, you know, typical Motorola, right? And, but then it's got this, how do you feel about the rubber top band on it? I think that's distracting for me when I hold it, especially when I tilt it to one side and I'm like, oh, it's rubbery on one side, but not on the other.
That's fine. Nah, that doesn't bother me.
You're okay with that?
Yeah.
Well, all right, whatever. I'm just picky, I guess. But, I think the OS is fine. You know, overall it's snappy. It does what I need it to do. I'm able to, yeah, there's not a ton of tablet optimized device applications out there yet, but all the stuff that I've been installing on it has been running perfectly fine. I haven't had really any crashes. A lot of people are talking about crashes with it. I haven't, I mean, other than I can't remember what it was. Some app that I installed. It took me about four times launching it before it actually started to work. But
it was iBoobs. Come clean. It was iBoobs. We know.
Well, and that's actually, something. You know, that's something we've heard about in some of these reviews. Is it kept crashing? Well, what kept crashing? Was Honeycomb crashing? Was it something about the OS, or was it an app that hasn't, you know, that wasn't ready yet? And that's actually a big deal. That's probably my number one complaint through this whole little endeavor, is that it's like Google pushed this stuff out, but kind of half-heartedly. Like, here it is, here's Honeycomb, here's Zoom, everybody else catch up. You know, they didn't have the full SDK out for developers till like the week before, if that, you know, just a few days. And except for the few chosen ones who got everything in advance. But, you know, developers are still being forced to catch up, and that's bad.
How are you using this? If you're, I mean, well, actually, let me ask you first. What camp do you fall in on? How do you feel about the hardware? Do you think it's good, or do you think it could use work?
I think the hardware's solid. I have complained, and you know, there's not a whole lot we can do about it. I've complained that the LTE wasn't ready, and that the micro SD isn't ready, and that's just really weird. But you know, that said, there's nothing I can do about it, right? I mean, we have a pretty good ballpark for when they're going to have to when they're going to get that done. You know, Flash I complained about and actually have been missing a little bit on here. But that's coming any day now. In fact, we have breaking news right now, Mickey. The Zoom is getting an update tonight that will, here, I'll read the tweet from Motorola. Motorola Zoom update rolling out in phases starting tonight and includes required enhancements to support upcoming Adobe Flash Player 10.2. So we're not getting Flash Player tonight, but you're going to get an update that, you know, gets the framework ready, I guess. You know, do we even know how to manually install updates on these, Jerry?
I've had 15 minutes time with Zoom. I really have no idea.
I'm sure we do.
I would assume it's the same method, boot to the stock recovery somehow with the package
with the
right name in the right place.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
How about and this is an Android issue, I think, more than anything, because I noticed this. So I'm as you are, a big Google Reader user.
Mm-hmm.
Are you using an app, or are you just going to the website to read your feeds?
No, I've been using the official app that came out, although I haven't tried it on the Zoom. And that's kind of my biggest, you know, what I was saying is you have all these thousands and thousands of apps out there, none of which are optimized for Honeycomb. Can you use the fragments yet? You know, so they don't look as good as they could. Now, that said, Google released, it was an update to the SDK that goes back to 1.6, to Android 1.6. So if your app works for 1.6, the devs can go in and tweak it now and have fragments and have it all work and such. But still, that's something they should have done beforehand.
When I'm using the screen on this, I don't feel like it's very accurate. And I'm not, and I felt this way about, it's like the buttons on the Nexus, like when you have to click them, just, you know, about 25% higher than you feel like you should. It's just a different touch screen, or it's optimized differently, and it totally throws me after using iOS devices. I'm trying to click on things.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah, no, like
how's the touch screen in the middle?
You know what? Let me go back into Google Reader, because that's my perfect one. It's so I try and click on my. It's pretty much the same.
Are you doing it in the web or in the app, though? No, are you doing it in the web or the app?
The web.
Oh, no. See, that's always been broken. That's not the hardware. That's the web page somehow, because I've tried that on multiple devices, and it's broken on every single one of them, and it makes no sense.
Okay.
Yeah. No, try it on any other phone.
I will retract my comments from that, then.
You're wrong!
That's not fair. That's not fair for this phone, then, or for this device, I should say. You know, but I still, the weight of it still is
it's heavy as hell.
And I don't know.
So that's what I was going to ask you. It's what, like, can you lay around and hold the thing? Is it really awkward, or do you have to
You got to have really strong wrists.
So what position are you in when you're using it? That sounded weird.
That sounded really weird. The most optimal position, I guess, the most optimal position is like sitting sideways on a couch with a pillow on your lap,
on
top of the pillow. You know, I mean, that's, or I will, there's other seated ways that it can work well. Some people like to call it the throne. I'll just say that, that works okay. But you know, otherwise the phone, the tablet itself, I mean, when you're trying to hold it, like in bed, forget about it. Like you can't just sit there and hold it and read. And then you try and lay on your side and the screen rotates weird, and it's, I don't know.
It's tough. It's heavy.
Yeah, it is tough. It's tough.
So if you're doing that, you might as well use a laptop.
Ding, yeah. Ding, ding.
At that point, and typing is still weird, and I'm finally getting around to writing about typing on it, and I try to do it with my thumbs, and it doesn't quite work. I can do one hand decently, but you know the size is still tough. I want a 7-inch tablet. That's what I want.
Yep. That's the thing with this is it's so big that the weight of it and it's a limitation of the glass, the battery, the case. It's going to be heavy when you get it to this size. Mm-hmm. I mean, 1.6 pounds is, you know, I mean, it's feather light when you think about everything that's in here, but it's still too much for trying to use this when, you know, you're out and about walking around or whatever. I mean, your hands get fatigued and, you have to really kind of pinch it almost to hold it with one hand because you can't put your thumb on the screen or you start, you know, touching, you know, activating the capacitive screen. And so it's not as nearly as easy as I think it should be. And I think that could have been addressed with a wider bezel, but, that's just me.
See, it sounds to me like everybody I talk to right now, a tablet, you know, whether it be Apple or Android or HP or whoever, is competing with netbooks and light laptops, but we're all wanting them to compete with phones. You know, we want something we can hold in one hand, work with one hand, but it's big enough to get more than we get from our 4-inch, 3-inch, whatever phones. But the manufacturers, you know, it's like Mickey said, when it's that big and it's got that much components in it, it's going to weigh a pound and a half. There's no way to get around it.
I mean, think about it. That's pretty light for what this is, you know? I mean, they've done a pretty decent job with that. So I can't fault Motorola. I mean, it's the component side of it that, I don't know, maybe they could have used a different, maybe like a carbon fiber back or something, but hey, the 7-inch Galaxy Tab weighs half as much as this thing. So that tells you something. And that one, no one even talks about the weight on that.
Nope.
Well, and think about what you're doing with it too. It's like the best use for a tablet is probably like watching videos or reading a book or something like that. And if you're going to do anything else, you're probably going to pull out your laptop or sit at your computer. So it just seems like you have a Nook or something like that. It's the perfect size. It's purpose built. You know, there's actually a function that it does and it does it really well. And that's why I'm just having a really hard time with these tablets, especially when they're so heavy and awkward.
The I'll tell you the Gmail experience on here is as good as it gets on a tablet.
Yes.
I mean, that almost sold me on it when I first started using this. The optimized Gmail application is awesome. It is so nice to use. You can triage email like you know, a 20-year EMS veteran. I mean, it's amazing.
I saw a post in the forums today. Somebody got some sort of universal dock. And so he could have it in his car for navigation. But otherwise,
oh
I see
gosh.
Almost no point of like having Google Maps on here. I'm not going to walk down the street holding this up looking for something.
the camera is ridiculous. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
You're not taking pictures with this.
I went outside to try to shoot something this afternoon, and it was sunny out. And I couldn't see a damn thing.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's
the glare.
You're not taking this outside.
No.
Okay, but here's the best, absolute best part of this device is that it's Verizon. I have been just blown away by the Verizon service. Mm. It is, and for me, Verizon is the best in Phoenix, and it is so fast. The speeds on this are blow, and this is EVDO. They blow away AT&T speeds here in Phoenix, and so it's
really.
It is so nice to use. Wireless N as well, and the 5 gigahertz range. So if you've got an Apple router like I do, you can use it on the wireless N protocol, 5 gigahertz. No interference, and my speed tests have been like, you know, 11 to 12 megabits per second. It's and all over the house. It's perfect. So the connectivity on it is top-notch, and I'm pretty happy about that.
All right, so I think that's it for tablets. I want to wrap that up because we got three other important things to talk about. Now I want Jerry to start off the next one. We've heard a whole lot the past week about malware and viruses and Trojans.
Oh, God.
And I'm not worried. I'm really not.
Well, I'm not worried. I'm Let's
back
concerned.
Up and let's back up and talk about what we're talking about. So what was it, like 50 apps got yanked a week or so ago?
I think 51 I think was the grand total.
They had been downloaded I forget how many thousands of times, and it was a lot. It was something like 50,000 times, right? And a lot of people in the forums reported that that they got the emails from Google saying that, you know, they had downloaded these apps. So Google kicked out the developer, killed the apps, and then went and killed the apps off the phones that were infected, which is great. That's the way it should work. And then they sent out emails to people. Now, here's the deal. If you're running Android 2.2 and up, you're fine. There is a security exploit that was patched in 2.2. If you're running it,
You know what? I never repeated that because I don't buy it.
Really?
That security exploit, I can make that security exploit happen on 2.2.1. It's hard, but I can monkey with things and get my timing right, and I can make Rage Against the Cage work on 2.2.1. And a lot of other people can too.
Huh.
2.2.2, it won't work at all. So I'm not, I think Google was off the mark there a little bit. No. But other than that, go ahead, finish.
I was going to kick it to you.
Oh, okay. And here we go. We talk about 2.2.x, 1 or 2, whatever. If your phone meets that criteria or a higher version of the OS, there's no problem. You download any of these apps, and the only deal is, you know, it's 512K bigger than it should have been because it has files in it that won't work, won't affect you, won't do a damn thing. But how many phones have 2.2.2 or higher?
Right.
There's your problem. You know, I'm glad to see Google step up and they have some sort of fix. You know, if their records show you downloaded this, they're going to send something to you that hopefully can clean up your system and get this exploit out of there. You know, that's good, but it would have been much better that, you know, as soon as Google patched this exploit and it was in their release notes, and I'm sure the manufacturers get a whole lot better release notes than we do, the manufacturers should have said, oh, this is a security fix. Let's send out a little OTA, if nothing else, just to patch this. And, you know, and it didn't happen. And that's the only way open source software works. Ask anybody that uses Linux and Ubuntu or whatever. That's how open source software works. It's out there. Everybody can look over it, find exploits, make a patch, submit it. Bam, you get it almost instantly. Even Microsoft on their computers does a really good job getting out software updates for vulnerabilities. We need to figure out something. You know, I don't know, Google, manufacturers, I don't know who to point the finger at, but this is bad. That's the bad part of it. The malware itself, it looked like it could do a lot of things, but it never got a chance to. It got cut and killed before it had a chance to do any of these things that some of the security companies think it could do. But nobody needs their name, you know, their Google account name and the you know, unique identifier for their phone sent to somebody in Sacramento or Fresno, wherever it was. No, you know, nobody should be subjected to that if there is an easy solution. So we need to find an easy solution.
Do I need to go out and download some virus program? And there are a few out there.
Well, see, the problem is by the time the virus companies would get it updated, you know, you might have already downloaded an app from the market. You know, I don't want to see Google curate the entire Android market. I really don't. I like a free and open market, but I can't figure out, you know, any way to prevent the next exploit from being uploaded to the market for everybody to, you know, to download. I'm kind of lost. I'm glad it's not me that has to sort this one out. you know, my advice is take matters into your own hands. If you were running 2.2.2 or higher, you could have just sat back and smiled and not cared. If your carriers and manufacturers can't do it for you and you're concerned about it, hit the forums and do it yourself.
Anything you should do as you're downloading apps in the market? I mean, part of the problem is that this wasn't stuff that, like, you know, you weren't downloading from third-party Chinese sites like we've talked about before. This was in the market.
Right, and I can't think of anything you can do. You know, well, you know, when it was found out, everybody, including us, we put up a list. You know, don't download these apps. At that point, there's something you can do. But before that, you know, nobody knew until it hit the right person's phone that noticed something wasn't right. and then looked and saw what was going on. You know, that's I guess the problem in a nutshell. There was no way to prevent it. And the big thing going on now is the security fix. If you got the letter from Google, you're going to get the security fix for your phone. Don't go out and download the one you see linked on Twitter or on Facebook or in one of the forums, because now there's security fixes out there that have an entirely different Trojan hidden in them.
Right. No,
and
Google's
you're
going to
be worse off than you were.
Google's going to push the good one to your phone.
Right. So just wait. You know, as of now, the application can't do any more harm than it's already done, because it's been pulled off your phone unless you went out, found it, and sideloaded it on purpose. And if you did that, you know what you're doing. So just relax and wait for Google to get to you.
Corey, Mickey, anything else to add? Moving on.
I had a question.
Nope.
Damn it. I had a quick question. Yeah, I'm sorry. So the I've seen an issue, and I don't know if it's related to malware, and that was the hardest thing for me to figure out, because it wasn't one of these applications, but it was with a person who said they may have visited some sites with nefarious intents on them. And yeah, what happened was he all of a sudden has the Nexus One on T-Mobile, perfect 3G service in Manhattan, and has always just been thrilled with the phone. And just as of lately, it's been back and forth with the signal. Battery life has been atrocious, and the phone is constantly rebooting. Like he says, it'll reboot sometimes 5, 6, 10 times before it'll finally totally boot up. And I told him, I said, it sounds like something's not right with the device, and I think it's software related, because it was affecting these multiple facets of it. But I said, the easiest thing for you to do is, you've got all your data backed up to the cloud with Google. So just make sure you know what you've got on the phone, grab your pictures off of it, and do a full restore and move on. Mm-hmm. Now, I have not heard, because he just did that, I think, yesterday or the day before. So I haven't heard yet how that's been going. But from what I understand, that's not what this malware was doing. It was more or less just sending out information, right? Sending out data.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
the malware didn't affect performance. That's why it went on as long as it did.
Yeah, and that's the issue that's totally unrelated, and so that's why I didn't think it was malware. But he was convinced that, well, I visited some sites I probably shouldn't have, and so I probably got a virus. And I'm like, nah, doesn't sound right. It's not going to make your phone flip between Edge and 3G and stuff. And I said, go talk to Timo, and they came back and said, no, we're good. It's like, okay, well, something's borked.
That sounds like something software related, with the radio or something.
Yeah. All right, Phil, you can take that whole 5 minutes out of the show then.
It's fine. Yeah. Well, I think you're going to start seeing more and more of this.
Definitely. As it grows in popularity, and that's just inevitable. Sorry. We're going to have
to. Yep.
Now's the time to start installing security software.
I use it. I don't like to pimp any one company over another, but I use Lookout because part of what we do here, I have to go to some of these Chinese websites and download some of these apps. We'll get something in the mail that says, hey, I wrote a new app. I can't put it in the market. Go here and download it. Well, I have to do that. So, I'd rather have something instead of just nothing. And it has caught several applications.
What do you download?
So. You see some of the emails we get.
I do.
We got to check them out. What if it's the greatest, the next best thing?
He's playing.
And I'm not pimping Lookout over anybody else. I don't want any hate mail. That's just the one I use work well for me.
Right.
So does it slow the phone down at all?
Nah.
Not mine.
Yeah.
I don't notice.
I used it for a while.
No hit on battery or anything.
Yeah.
Cool.
All right. Thing number two. Fake 4G on AT&T. I had a nice conversation with somebody the other day. So we kind of broke the news way back when that HSUPA, that upload speeds, were being capped. And it looks like anyone who has had one of these AT&T 4G phones, and I say 4G in air quotes that nobody can see, that, you know,
it's
the data...
4G.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that's kind of my thing, right? From the beginning, nobody other than AT&T has said, oh, yeah, sure, that's 4G, because it's not. Now, that they're artificially limiting it, and we know they are because the radio is bad, right? You can swap out the radio in the Inspire, right, Jerry? And then it's just fine.
Right.
So, I mean, the question is, why do they do it? I don't know. I mean, were they afraid there were going to be that many Android phones activated? Like, hey, we finally got a good one. There's going to be a bum rush on AT&T.
Sure they were.
Yeah, they're avoiding another iPhone debacle.
And you know, that's smart of them, but they should have been a little more transparent with it.
Yeah, it's a little – maybe if they just said, hey, guys, we're going to take it slow. You know, we're going to turn it on. And I think they will turn it on. I would almost put money –
yeah,
on a new radio coming out at some point, you know, in the next 3-4 months. And
you know what the ironic thing about this is in all of the speed tests that I've done recently, it seems like when I get into an area that's got a lot of traffic on it, the download speeds are the ones that are suffering and not the upload speeds. I can show you dozens and dozens of speed tests that I've done in the last couple of weeks where I'm seeing download speeds at like 500K and upload speeds at nearly 2 megs.
Oh,
like,
wow.
What? You know?
It's the same thing for me here, yeah.
And it's ridiculous. I mean, I get why, if that's why, because they don't want to see the network totally saturated, but the HSDBA side still allows for fast downloads. And it's not like the upload speed is you know, that much slower. I mean, there's something to be said for, you know, on the home connection side where you can do like super fast downloads and moderate uploads. But we're about the same, you know, really, when it comes to it. You know, it's like, you know, 2 down, 2 up is really like the HSPA norm right now, right? So anything over that is gravy. But when you get into these busy areas, you're not seeing even close to 2 megs down, but still seeing 2 megs up because no one's got the HSUPA except for just a few phones. And so I think that's kind of ironic.
Well, and you cannot be touting your 4G. And be pulling crap like that. That's ridiculous. I mean, that's at this point, yep. I would not, under any circumstance, recommend getting an AT&T 4G phone if you're doing it for the 4G speeds, right? I mean, the Inspire is a great phone otherwise. And I still use AT&T. I still have no big problems with it because I know what I'm getting. I'm also not paying for a 4G phone or, you know, do the plans change? I haven't even looked at that yet. I don't remember. It's ridiculous, and they need to change it. And yeah, there are petitions out there, and if you want to go sign them, great. I mean, the other thing you need to do is yell at me and complain to me like you've been doing. So when I go see AT&T at CTIA in a couple of weeks, you know, we can relay that to them. And that's where the forums come in. Do it in the forums. I'll see you there.
But on the other side, isn't it better to hold back a little bit on the upload speed than to, number one, go hog wild and have the network just collapse or throttle the download speed instead?
Yeah, technically, what they're doing is fine. It's the principle of selling this 4G technology when you're not really even getting it.
Well, yeah, I agree with that completely.
What's going to collapse? What are people doing? People are not uploading. Like, they're not sitting there streaming their lives. You know, they're downloading stuff. They're streaming media down. They're not going up. And it's not like, well, you say to have them throttle it a little bit. It's not a little bit. It's 10 times less.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what I said. A little bit would have been okay.
A little bit would have been okay, maybe. Yeah, but you can't do that. That's the problem. And so they go back to this revision that was done in 2002, 2003. It's ridiculous. This is not what we should be at right now. And this is it, you cannot buy a phone from AT&T right now without knowing going into it that you are going to be severely hampered until they fix this.
I just got 143 down and 116 up on my Nexus One.
Here at the house.
That's horrible.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Here at the house, I get higher upload speeds on T-Mobile Edge down in the basement than I do with HSUPA on AT&T.
Yeah, that's bad. I guess I'm fortunate because I found myself living in an area where no one's using AT&T. Yeah, it's really the edge, you know. So I mean, I always get pings in the 200s. My download here is, you know, 1.9 down. I'll wait for the upload, and I'll tell you. I mean, it's good.
Latency though.
Yep.
Not for AT&T. It's not. That's that is as good as it gets. As good as it gets on AT&T.
Well, this picture in the blog is 406. So, I mean, you can have super fast download and upload speeds, but if you got latency like that, that's no good.
And that picture on the blog, I got it from Jeremy. You know, he writes at TipB and he writes for us and is in our forums. That's the highest upload speed for the Inspire on AT&T that I could find. And I looked and asked a whole lot of people. So that's your best case scenario.
Yeah. He always gets good speeds in Chicago. Yep.
Okay. Well, that's that, I think.
Well, no. Do we think they're going to fix it? I mean, we can't just walk away and tell people, yeah, it sucks, and then not tell them if we think they're going to do anything about it.
Well, you know, the other thing is they make their introduction into Android. They come out some really big phones. I mean, they did have some other ones, but these are big phones. And so to come out this way, it's kind of crappy.
Yes, it is.
They'll fix it. They'll get there.
Fix it now. Tonight.
It's not going to be now. It's going to take a little bit.
Zoom update and AT&T new radio tonight. That's what we want.
Yeah, well, yes. You're going to see one of the two. But that's
after they hear this podcast, they're going to get right on it.
Right on it.
No, I mean, we're all in agreement. They're going to do something at some point, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I know it won't be soon enough for anybody, but they'll do it. Okay, thing number three. Where is the HTC Thunderbolt?
Oh, boy.
I don't know where it is.
All right, chat room, go.
I got no idea. Chat room, go.
This is what you've been waiting for. Go. Hammer us. Let us have it. Where do you think it is?
So BGR said today they heard March 21st, Droid Life.
Azerbaijan.
You know, no sources given. All I'm going to say about that is we've all had sources before that turned out to be wrong. So, you know, including us, and, you know, I've talked about this before. I was 100% confident in that source, and I still am. I heard from somebody else today, and I'll talk about it here. I'm not going to write anything, that's possible, but might well be longer. And in fact, the timing of the leaked rumors today kind of calls that into question. So, I mean, Jerry and I have talked about this for a while now, right? And we've all been talking about it on the forums, and we're having a good time about it. It'll be out when it's out. I'm not playing the guessing game anymore.
Yep, I can say with 100% certainty that if Corey or myself knew when it would be out, we would tell you all because we're afraid of you.
Yes.
You guys want this so bad. We would give it to you just out of fear.
Well, so there's one thing I'd like to say about that 21st date.
Yes.
It's a Monday, and Verizon does not release phones on Mondays. Mm-hmm. I mean, oh, the Zoom came out on a Thursday. The iPhone came out on a Thursday. All the rumored dates have been Thursdays. So the 21st doesn't make any sense to me. Every phone I've ever bought on Verizon has either been on a Thursday or a Friday. So, sorry.
Corey Streeter.
It's coming. I mean, they're still figuring out stuff, right? Whether it's the LTE, whether it's the handshake, the handoff, whatever. And look, I mean, anyone who's used LTE knows it can take a little bit of time for these things to connect. I mean, Mickey, Corey, you guys have USB sticks too, right? I mean, it takes a good minute to get it going.
They don't want their introduction into the LTE, their first phone. They don't want it to be a disaster. They want it to work well, right? They don't want all this bad press about their first phone. They're going to get it right. They'd rather do it right than give people everybody wants it right now and they're really desperate for it, but they're not going to release something until they think it's absolutely ready. That's my opinion.
And that's the way it should be.
Yeah,
absolutely the
be.
Way it should be.
No, it's not Apple's fault. The Thunderbolt has nothing to do with the iPad 2.
No,
they know you all
not.
Would be buying both of them if you could.
And absolutely not.
I mean, we've all seen things that lead us all to believe that it was supposed to be out before now. And has been, even though we can't say delayed because there was never actually a date. I mean, there were, you know, companies out there who thought it was coming. Right.
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, look, there's companies with cases sitting on the shelf trying to sell them.
Right.
Well, I mean, you got advertising out there with dates on it. You have, there's just so much stuff out there with date. I mean, normally I would say, wait for the Verizon press release. Don't count on anything until you hear the press release. But today they're sending out brochures that saying it's ready to people. And so that's the problem that I see. It's like, come out and say, you know, sorry, we're confusing people. I don't know, something. Just say something. What's out there advertising
it? No, one of the execs said, was it yesterday or the day before, that they're still on target for the first half of the year, which is, you know, what they initially said is we're going to have phones out by the second half of the year. And they haven't said anything more than that. So, I mean, it's not good. I think there's a bigger problem in that, and I think I want to get away from the trade show thing. I wish companies would get away from announcing things at CES and then hoping they're ready, you know, 2 and 3
It certainly backfired this time, didn't it?
Yeah. Well, I mean, and it's not just them, right? I mean, like, Palm had that same problem with the pre.
Yep. Yep.
And it's just, you know, get off those schedules. And I understand, you know, we're all in one place. They're big shows, a lot of exposure. But it's not working. And it's hurting the consumers at that point. And it's hurting the manufacturers. You know, because HTC is taking a lot of crap for this, too. And it's probably not their fault at this point, I would think.
Well, they screwed up, too, and admitted when they started shipping phones.
Yeah.
That should not have been said. That should have just been left to Verizon to announce.
Yeah.
You know, so they kind of deserve a little bit of heat. But
at this point, you know, people saying phones are in stores and they just can't sell them. If phones were in stores, we would have seen pictures by now. That would have leaked out.
We've got enough forum members that work for Verizon that would have showed off using one.
Yeah, I mean, and so do the other sites. I mean, there are direct pipelines out of these things to people. You know, we would have seen something by now.
Clearly, I mean, there have been, what, 8 rumored dates? Clearly, nobody really knows when it's coming out. No one.
I
mean,
the closest I think we had was, like, to any actual proof was that bit of sleuthing somebody did in our forums, you know, lining up the barcode from that early, it was a Wirefly, I forget who that video came from, and then lining that up with the Best Buy sheet. And it, you know, but otherwise, it's just, you know, guesses.
Yeah, I truly believe that the 14th was the original date because of that. You know, you don't go to all that trouble just for a dummy date.
Yeah.
No.
It's coming. It'll be here. It'll have unicorn tears and rainbows shooting out of its butt. And I don't know.
or they could release it tomorrow and it's not going to work. You know, that's not going to make anybody happy.
So
do you want to complain?
All
now
you have
later?
To do is just keep predicting the next Thursday. So probably not coming out this week. There'll probably be at least a week's advance in the press release. Sometimes Verizon does it like the day before. They do it a few days before. I think they're going to give at least 7 days notice on this one. And if they haven't done a press release today, I wouldn't count on it next week.
Well, now, was it the Droid 2 or the Droid Pro that didn't come when we think it was supposed to, and then there was no press release? It just showed up one night for sale?
The world, because it was like a month behind. Like, they announced it, but then they didn't release it till like a month and a half later. I think it was a Droid 2 they did that with.
They're telling me in the chat room, Droid 2 Global.
Yeah, so, I mean, because I was going to Miami, and I was on the plane and got off the plane, and they had announced it.
And now I remember, too, because I couldn't buy one for 2 months unless I drove to somewhere in Pennsylvania. So, yeah, it was the Droid 2 Global. So, I mean, that's a possibility, too. You know, it may come like a thief in the night, just boom.
But I think this phone is important enough that they're gonna make a big deal out of the press announcement. I don't know. It might come out the day before. I actually put together a kind of a spreadsheet and posted in the forums of the last like 10 phones that have come out and when they announced and when they actually went on sale. It's always a Thursday or a Friday. I hate it when they're on Fridays because if you order it online, then you don't get it till Monday, which kind of sucks. But usually it's a Thursday.
There you go.
So just keep predicting Thursdays.
Maybe it'll come out yesterday. Wait, huh?
Tonight. It's Thursday in Azerbaijan. I can't even say it.
Friday in Azerbaijan.
Well, the other thing, too, is, you know, and this is something I'm seeing in the forums. A lot of people are starting to get disgruntled with this. So they're looking at all these newer phones that are coming along. So you have the Samsung Stealth, and you have some of the LG, and you have some of these other phones, and they're kind of like, they wanted this so bad. Now they're starting to kind of look at other things.
By the way,
supposedly.
By the way,
what
if I see any more hands-on videos of the Stealth from 3 months ago? I'm gonna lose it. Sorry. I feel better now.
And you have your own video, right?
Yeah, it looks exactly like all the others.
Yeah,
we ran it the day it happened instead of waiting until the middle of March.
Sorry. I don't mean to get off on a rant there, but. What do people, that's another thing. People keep saying, well, maybe it'll come out with dual core instead. No, it's not going to.
No.
Sorry, they're not totally ripping open the Thunderbolt at this point to change something.
That ship has sailed.
Yeah.
They've been done with this thing. It was final at CES.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yep. Definitely.
Yep.
It was probably final 6 months before CES in the hardware side.
Yeah, I mean, it takes 2 years to get these things ready. They're not going to rip it up, you know, a month and a half after they announce it. Because the world says, we want dual core. Well, I mean, Qualcomm wasn't ready yet, so sucks, but that's just the way it is. All right, that's Thunderbolt. That's our three things for the night, four things. I kind of like that. I kind of like doing that instead of just running down the giant list. So we've got a whole bunch of old voicemails and emails I want to catch up on. I know we've been way behind, and I apologize to everybody last week. So we're going to do some. How about that? Sound good?
Yay.
Yep.
Yay. All right. As soon as I find... Oh, my God. I got so much stuff on these screens. Okay. So let's start with some voicemails, shall we? And we will start with Alan.
Hi, Phil. This is Alan from Sisters, Oregon. Long-time listener, first-time contributor. Just a request. You know, your podcast, by the way, it's great, love it, learned a lot, and it's about Android. It's not OEM central, it's not carrier central. One of the things I sometimes, I think like you do, get a little overwhelmed with all the different devices. You know, five different phones coming out literally every week, it does get crazy, and really when you get right down to it, it's not speeds and feeds, but it's the usability that's going to win people over, certainly vis-a-vis the iPhone. So my request is to maybe have a special show on CyanogenMod 7.0 RC2. I'm running it myself, and I'm blown away with how good it is, how smooth it is, how approachable it is for nearly every user, not just the heavy-duty techno geek, and would love to see you guys do a special show or at least a large segment and talk more about it, because it's things like CyanogenMod that are likely to win a lot of new users over to the cause. Thanks again, Phil. Enjoy the show very much, and please keep up the great work. Thanks.
What do you think? Should we do an entire show?
I think he wants a
CyanogenMod
show.
that's a possibility. We'll talk about it. The other thing to remember is there are a lot of other ROM devs out there who don't get nearly the support and the play that CM does. Now, that said, you know, CM's pretty badass. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I would,
and that goes both ways. They're so badass because of the support everybody gives them.
Mm-hmm.
So don't hate us because we talk about some of the other ROMs too.
Yeah. No, and it really is a community project, and it's cool to see.
Right.
And when you talk open source, I mean, that's it. That's the way it should be.
But yeah, I'm all for a hacking and ROM show. You know, if people want it and you want to go for it, you just let me know.
All right, we'll discuss that. All right, now we have Caesar, who, against my better judgment, he knows what I'm talking about, we'll have his voicemail played now.
Hey, guys. My name is Caesar Bohorkis. To begin with, I have an Nexus S, and I just want to know if there's a way to enable the Wi-Fi calling for the phone, and also if the phone is ever going to get high-definition recording on an update or something like that. The last thing I wanted to ask you guys is I'm really interested in the Galaxy S2, but I don't know if I should return my Nexus S. I have a couple weeks left over, so my month is up. to return it to Best Buy. And the thing is that the phone is great and everything, but I don't like TouchWiz very much. I like stock Android, and I don't know if we're going to be able to install a Cyanogen mod on it. If, you know, if it's a possibility, that would be great, but I just can't bear not having stock Android on my phone. The phone is just great, though, and I just wanted to see if you guys, you know, could give me some advice, maybe, you know, talk about the phone or something, and yeah, that's about it. Just want to know those three things. Thanks a lot, guys. You guys are great. Bye.
Well, apparently we took too long, because Caesar said in the chat room that he kept it.
Well, good, because listening to your email, you're not going to be happy with the Galaxy S4G or S2 or whatever they're calling it.
Well, hang on. Which phone are we talking about, the Galaxy S2 or the Galaxy S4G? Because those are two very different phones.
Two.
Two? All right.
The S2, well for what I'm saying, they're exactly the same.
No.
If he wants to put, like, Cyanogen mod or sort of real custom ROM, no, you're dependent on Samsung. When Samsung releases Android 2.3, then developers can get in there and do something with it. But Samsung just holds on really tight to a lot of their software that's needed to actually use the phone with a different version of Android.
You think?
Yeah. Yeah. So you did a wise thing. If like you're saying, stock Android was your most important thing, keeping the Nexus S was probably the right way, you know, the right choice.
Yes.
I can attest to that.
I agree. 100%.
And I love the Nexus S, so I like to, you know, pimp it out a little bit whenever I can. Because it gets so much hate. Everybody hates my poor little phone.
I love it. I saw Dieter's at CES. I think it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. If it was on Verizon, I'd grab one.
And you'd love it.
If they had left the home button where it's supposed to be, I would get one.
Oh, God. Where is it?
It's on the right.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. It's all the way on the right.
Why do they keep moving these around? Is it a joke?
Just to mess with me.
It's better than the search button being there. Because when the palm of your hand hits the search button and holds down on it, voice search pops up and screws up everything you're doing.
So where's the search button on it?
Let me look. I don't even bother looking anymore. Everyone's different. Search button is third from the right.
That is so terrible. Back, I want them to standardize menu search this. Home.
Me too.
Let's do a petition.
No. Right, let's do Chris's voicemail.
Hi, guys. This is Chris. I have a Nexus One, and I would like to make it make different noises for the different emails I get. So say I get an email from my grandmother, it would give me one certain notification sound. Or if I get an email from eBay, I get a totally different notification sound. All right. Thank you. And I love listening to the podcast, and hopefully you guys can answer my question.
Anybody?
I think you're at the mercy of the email app, right?
Yeah, believe it or not, I was thinking about this last week, because I want to do this too. The only thing I could come up with was get a new Gmail address and register your phone with your new Gmail address and put different labels in it and forward some of the emails to this new Gmail address, and in your filter have it skip the inbox on your old Gmail address,
no,
and then you'll be able to have two separate. And yeah, if that's the only way that I could think of to do it, I decided no, it's
wrong
impossible.
Wrong answer.
Yeah.
No, don't do that.
You would need like 10 email accounts.
Yep, that's it. It's insane.
I don't even understand what the hell you just said.
I think the answer is every phone has its own email client, and you're kind of at the mercy of the client itself. As far as notifications go, I don't even know of any third-party email clients that allow you to do that. I use a couple, and neither one of them allows me to do that.
No, and see, I come from a BlackBerry, and man, you depend on different alerts for different things. Mickey can attest to that.
Oh,
you know, it's great, and that's a big drawback.
Yeah, definitely sounds cool.
As an aside, I have different tones and vibration schemes set up for everything that happens on my BlackBerry. Yep. And so I don't even look at it, and I know exactly what account has happened, or if it's an IM, or if it's a BBM, or if it's a email, or if it's, I mean, it's perfect. It's what you yep. need for notifications. It is frustrating on the other devices.
And combine that with the multicolor trackball on the Nexus One, and that would be excellent.
Right.
Weren't profiles added into CM7? Am I talking out the left side of my butt?
I don't think they're going to do what we want here.
Okay. I don't know. I haven't messed with them yet.
Wait, Caesar is saying yes, yes they do. Well, guess who's loading CM7 on his Nexus S tonight?
Take a look. Yeah, we got to mess with that.
Yep.
Okay, now we have Josh.
This is for the Android Central podcast. First question is, I had an original Droid, and it was upgraded to 2.2 back in the summer. And as soon as it was upgraded, it was having really bad connection problems. Like, spots I had 3G, all of a sudden I didn't have 3G, and, I live in a fairly well-blanketed Verizon wireless area. So when I took it up to the Verizon store, they took it back there, let the tech look at it. They explained my problem, and they told me that the software upgrade had nothing to do with it at all. They said I was having a hardware problem. They said that there's no way that the software caused my problem, which I found that completely irrational, because before the update, I had no connection problems, no roaming problems, nothing like that. Well, after the update, it became really, really bad. So, and Verizon Network's pretty rock solid. So, I just wondered if anybody, maybe Jerry, can tell me or just tell me if maybe that was a software-related issue and Verizon didn't want to admit it or what. But anyway, I kept having the problems, and what they ended up doing was sending me a Droid 2, which was good on their part. And the Droid 2 was fine after that, but I just since upgraded to Droid X. Appreciate it, and I love the podcast, and keep up the good work. Thanks.
I know a couple people now whose original Droids are just kind of falling apart.
Yep, no, and that's a known issue. He called in and they told him that that's a known issue. I'm not sure if, you know, manually upgrading, putting Cyanogen mod on it or whatever would fix it. I'm not sure what, you know, the outcome is, but that is a known issue, 3G not coming back after a phone call.
So could that be like a radio, firmware?
It's got to be. It's got to be in the maybe not the radio, but somewhere in the layer of the interface that switches it back on and off. Okay, Jimmy in the chat room says, nope, that doesn't fix it. So it's probably the radio itself, and we can't fix that.
Yeah.
That brings back memories of the Touch Pro 2. I know you don't want to go there, but oh my gosh.
All right. That was a mess. Randy.
My name is Randy Alvarado, and I'm from Nashville, Tennessee. I was wanted to kind of ask you guys, maybe I didn't see it, but I went and played with Zoom, Motorola Zoom at the Best Buy, and I didn't see that the Motorola Zoom has folders on the home screen, so you can customize the wallpapers and put the apps and everything, widgets, but I didn't see any folders. I was wondering if that was right. Okay, thank you. I love your podcast.
The answer to that, strangely enough, is no. I cannot find
folders in Honeycomb?
No. Am I just totally missing them, Mickey?
No, I was trying to do it actually as he was talking, and I'm not able to see how to do it either. And maybe I'm, hold on, what does more do? No, more just gives me a bunch of stuff, other stuff.
Yeah, so when you hold down on a home screen in Honeycomb like you would in, I keep calling it regular Android in my head. I know it's really screwed up the way I can talk about different versions of, you know, from 2 and down, I'm fine. So when you hold down, you get thumbnails of the 5 home screens, and then you have widgets, app shortcuts, wallpapers, and more. And what you can actually do is drag the widget or app shortcut or more. And more is a bookmark, contact, directions, navigation, Gmail label, latitude, playlist, or select settings, and then you have a whole bunch of cool little settings options you can go through. And you can actually you know, drag it to whichever home screen you want it to go to. And it's actually really cool. I like the way they did it. Although I, even as I'm looking at it now, I have other issues. But no, there are no folders, which is really weird. Well, I mean, the other issue is have the select setting thing, right? And then it pops open another menu, but you have nothing there that tells you you're about to pop open another menu and that there are more settings there. It's just not intuitive.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mickey, because I'm just going to be clowny.
I've got nothing. I was going to kind of be one too. And I was saying, I was trying to drag one app on top of another a la iPhone style, and it does not do anything. Mm. So
I just want Phil to call Craig from Crackberry on Skype.
Yes.
So he can come here and play the wah wah sound. Because if there's any time that it's needed, it's right now. Because that's ridiculous. Don't take features away, Google.
Yes.
Don't do it.
All right, now we have Tony Bag of Donuts.
This is Tony Bag of Donuts from the Android Central forums and crackberry.com forums. My question is regarding the Facebook application. I've noticed numerous locations on Facebook, on Android Central, and various forums that the widget will not update past March 3rd. If you uninstall updates, log off, log back in, pull a battery, do all that stuff, it'll update for an hour. And then after that hour, you hit the back button on the widget to scroll through all your updates, and it goes back to March 3rd. It's not just me. It's different people. I'm on a Droid Incredible, the phone that Phil loves to hate. I am running into a SOC-ROM. I tried it on two other dinks without any rooting. Same issue, different accounts. Someone with the Droid X has that problem, and the Nexus S has that problem. And I didn't know if you guys are aware of this or there's a workaround other than just saying the widget stinks and yada, yada, yada. Keep up the great work. Jerry, you need a haircut, and see you guys on the forums.
Forget Facebook. What a haircut.
So Phil hates the Incredible and Jerry needs a haircut.
Wow. But you know what? I had heard this, and I thought to myself, yeah, the guy that's telling me this, he's full of crap. That makes no sense. March 3rd, he's full of it. But now, well, I feel bad for thinking somebody was full of it, but that's kind of crazy. What
Facebook
happened
on updates don't work on any phone. They have never gotten that right.
They don't work on any Android phone, and somebody from Android works at Facebook.
Yeah, very much so. I've met him. Yeah, it's broken. They need to fix it. I don't know. I watched the movie, which really has nothing to do with any of this, but
I'm just happy to see a longtime forum member call in.
Yeah.
Kind of excited.
I know that.
I recognize Tony.
Yeah. All right, got one more. This is from Ty.
Hello, this is message for Android Central Podcast. My name is Ty Benton. I have the G1, T-Mobile G1, and I'm about ready to retire it, but I need to know which phone would be best suited for a fast processor, the T-Mobile Comet or the LG Optimus T. I want to stick with T-Mobile because of their broadband is actually, I've got the unlimited broadband, so I just want to make sure that, you know, it's really good and fast to handle any kind of data that I have coming in. So I appreciate it, and I thank you. Bye.
Optimus.
Well, yeah, out of those two choices, definitely. But why not hold out and maybe wait for another sale and get a G2 or a MyTouch 4G?
And actually,
you know, that's a big step up.
Right now, on March 10th, I would not recommend buying a phone right now. Give us 2 weeks. Let's see what comes out at CTIA. And, I would not buy a phone right now. Period. I'm not buying a phone. Can't make me.
Don't buy a phone right now.
All right.
Whatever you see at CTIA, though, you're going to be waiting. You're going to be drooling for like 3 months waiting for it to come.
But that's the thing. That's okay, because then we go into summer and there's really not a big launch time until fall.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, that's only when the Evo and the Droid X came out last year. So
was that CTIA?
No. Well, the Evo was announced at CTA. It came out in summer. Droid X was announced in summer. I'm just saying.
Was the Galaxy line announced at CTA?
No, they were announced in the summer. Okay. The Galaxy S itself, the European version, was announced at CTA. All the U.S. ones were announced at the end of June. So, I'm just saying. They're screwing us.
Well, Motorola had to get something out to compete with the Evo, so they can't wait for the next trade show.
Yeah. Keep pounding away at that G1.
I want to be clear here. I love the Optimus phones. Mm-hmm. But I like it because of its size and how convenient it is to use and carry. I'm not trying to knock it at all, but if you're stepping up from a G1, that means and you've had it this long, that means you love Android, and it's worth waiting to see what else you can get that may be working better for you.
Something's coming. I don't know. But hang in there for a couple more weeks, and let's see what we see at CTIA. Definitely. Three emails I want to do. Steven writes, I saw your Android 101 on memory and storage space. Can you explain what the internal SD card memory has to do with RAM? Are the apps stored on the internal memory or RAM? If I load up 100 apps, will my RAM be used up? And I know some people are a little confused, and the problem is you go back and forth between calling storage space storage or memory or whatever, or ROM. So programs are stored in... See, you can't call it ROM, can you? Because a ROM is something else. I can see it in my head. I know what I'm talking
ROM.
About. ROM.
ROM. It's ROM.
Well, there's application storage.
Yes.
You know, the phones have a separate partition for application storage.
So that's...
But it's...
Right. When you hear about your phone
like
having
Steven's
a...
It sounds like Steven's coming from a BlackBerry.
Mm-hmm. When you
but they're
hear
not
about
stored
your phone,
in RAM.
No, they're absolutely not stored in RAM. RAM is memory that's used to actually run an application.
So. And RAM is what gets erased when you shut it off. That's the way I was taught to remember it. When you shut your computer, or in this case your phone off, your RAM turns back to zero, so you know nothing gets stored in it.
There you go. So no, your RAM's just fine. That's my main complaint about my poor old Nexus One right now, is there's just not enough storage space on it, even using the SD card. Which is mainly my fault because I'm flashing CyanogenMod nightlies every other night and doing backups. So I kind of eat up the cards pretty quick. What's the next one?
I'll take her. It's Kevin, and he writes, I'm highly interested in the upcoming release of the Motorola Droid Bionic, and I was even more excited to see that the Motorola WebTop application that is on the Atrix might make it to the Bionic sometime after it launches as part of the upgrade. I do have concerns, though, about the Bionic versus the Atrix in regards to memory. The Bionic will only have 512 megs of RAM, where the Atrix has a gig. It would seem to me that more memory would definitely help with the WebTop application and overall performance of the phone. Well, that's a comment, but I'm guessing his question is, what do we think about that? And I would say that there's something to be said for having that full gig, and you know, obviously twice as much as the Bionic is certainly going to be helpful. But I would also say that depending on what you're doing with it, I think the general just usage of the device with the WebTop will be okay with 512. But you know, depending on what else is running on the device at the time, you could run into issues.
I don't want to spoil my review, which is almost done. I would not want to use WebTop with 512.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. Not after using it with a gig. A gig is the rock bottom, in my opinion. Maybe I'm a little bit picky and want things to be a little faster than they need to be, but I wouldn't. Even though I know the Bionic has a different kind of memory that's faster, I still... don't think you're going to have enough free RAM to be happy at 512. Will it work? Yeah. But I don't think I'd be happy.
Hey, here's a question. And I don't know the answer, and we're going to need to find the answer pretty soon. So Firefox 4 is about to come out, right? The release candidate just dropped.
Right.
The official one's going to be here any day now, right? So right. Are we going to get that on WebTop?
Doubt it. I'm pretty sure the Firefox that's running on WebTop now is a custom build.
Right.
You know, I say doubt it. Not this year.
And here's why I ask. I wish I had the link handy, and I don't. I need to try to find it. But I saw somebody from Mozilla tweet out today It was a screenshot of RAM usage, and they were showing Chrome, Safari, Firefox 4, and IE for the same three web pages and blah, blah, blah. And Firefox 4 was significantly less than the others in RAM usage. So that's why I ask.
Well, you know what? Moto and Mozilla, prove me wrong, please. I'd love to be proven wrong.
I'm sure it's some sort of weird, hacky ROM flash under a full moon that it takes to update that thing.
Yeah, because, you know, to Android, it's just an app.
Right.
It makes it difficult to hack at it because it's just an app. But it does much more than an app, so we'll get it figured out.
All right, last one. Who wants Michael from Fresno?
I'll take Michael. Hello, guys. I have a T-Mobile MyTouch 4G. In an effort to conserve battery power and to make the phone run smoother, I often will force close certain applications. I frequently will go into my settings and running applications, then force close certain applications that I believe do not need to be running. For example, I will often force close applications like Maps, Evernote, Internet, Market, Hippocrates. A lot of these applications seem to either open on their own or remain open if I don't force close them. It is okay to go in and force close these kind of applications, or would it be better just to let the phone manage these apps by itself? I am careful not to force close any applications or processes that I do not know about or understand.
How about this?
Do it, Corey. Do it.
No, hang on. The battery that you used in force closing those apps probably used more battery life doing that than you did just leaving them alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I buy that. I mean,
you don't need to do this, right? It's basically what he's doing with by force closing it is the same thing as a task manager that goes in and kills things, and then things restart on their own because certain services need to be running because there's dependencies on those services by other applications. So Android itself, the OS, will close applications when it needs more memory, and it does its own task management. So it really isn't necessary. If it makes you feel good to close these applications, there are task managers you can download, but only close. My recommendation is to only close some of the apps like you mentioned. So Evernote, Hippocrates, so things that are third-party apps that aren't part of the base operating system and require those, because otherwise they're just going to keep restarting themselves. And you're going to kill more battery doing that than if you just left it alone.
Okay, I don't want to get too technical here, but the amount of battery you need to hold a single bit in RAM with information in it is nothing. That's not going to affect your battery at all. So closing apps that are technically open but not doing anything, they're sitting idle, is not going to affect your battery life, not one iota. But apps that are in the background that run on a schedule, if you close them so they can't run on their schedule, that is going to affect your battery life. That's why I think we see some people that say, yeah, Task Killer worked great for me. I get twice as much battery. And other people say, I don't see any difference. And it actually is slower to load applications because of the stuff I've closed. I think that's what you know is going on here. And maybe it would be better to monitor the applications you have running, see or not running, but look like they're running, see what they're actually doing, and maybe you need to tell them to not do things. You know, I use Pulse as a news reader. I don't need Pulse to update every 30 minutes.
Yeah.
So I go in there and set it to update at 6 hours, because if I haven't looked at it in 6 hours, it'll be updated, but chances are I'll hit the button and open it manually before then. So I don't need it to just run constantly. And then I don't care if it's open in the background because it's using RAM that nothing else is using. It's just sitting there empty, begging a program to be loaded into it.
Every time you want to force close an app, just go outside and take a walk. Smell the fresh air.
Oh, that word force close makes my skin crawl. That's the message you see when something goes bad, right?
Yes. Just leave him be. You'll be fine. You'll be better off for it. Get a stress ball. I don't know. So that's it. That's been a fun podcast. Was it fun for you guys? It was fun for me. You sounded like you were having a good time.
I had a blast.
I like it when you don't give us this huge list of stuff and say, you're going to talk about this or I'm going to come to your house and beat you.
Mickey,
this is much better.
Fun. Mickey, did you have fun?
I always have fun.
It is not the same when Mickey's not here.
It really isn't.
I love having Mickey on.
So speaking of fun, next week I will be at Disney World, so do not expect a podcast. And I'll be back in Orlando the week after for CTIA, but I'm sure we'll be podcasting from there, so don't worry about it.
It would be the happiest podcast in the world.
I'll do it with mouse ears. It's a small world. Mickey, take us home.
If you'd like to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to podcast@androidcentral.com, or you can leave us a voicemail at 888-468-6158. Type in extension 222. You can also follow all of us on Twitter. The site is @AndroidCentral. Phil is @PhilNickinson. I am @TCPJ_Mickey. Jerry is @GBHill. Corey is @CStreeter. And you can follow all of the other writers over at Android Central. The entire site and this show brought to you by the Android Central Store, found at store.androidcentral.com. You can also give us a call, 888-468-6158.
That's it. Good night, chat room. Good night, moon.
You totally stole my line.
Have you seen Goodnight Dune? I think Phil Byrne or somebody put it up on Twitter. Oh, it's awesome. It's like Goodnight Moon, only it's Goodnight Dune with all the weird Dune names. Oh, it's awesome. If you haven't seen it, go see it.
I'll need a linky link.
I'll send you one. It just messes your stuff right up. It's awful. Good night, Corey.
Good night.
Good night, Mickey.
Good night, Phil.
Добрый вечер.